Thousands of languages are under threat amid a lack of linguistic diversity on the internet. But technology can keep them alive, the chairperson of a leading body of humanitarian translators said on Thursday, International Mother Language Day. In an interview with UN News' Daniel Johnson, Andrew Bredenkamp of Translators Without Borders explains how the non-governmental organization is partnering with tech giants, including Facebook, Google, and Microsoft, on projects that will deepen understanding of the needs of at-risk communities to save their languages from disappearing.
There are thousands of languages. The precise definition of a language, as opposed to a dialect, is not scientifically clear. So there may be 3,000 to 6,000 languages out there, depending on how you count them. And a huge majority of them are under threat. So typically they're under threat because of economic and political factors. So language is used as an instrument of power. It's used as a way of controlling information. This is why governments typically restrict education into a smaller number of languages. All of those put pressure on indigenous languages and local populations.
How do you apply this in a humanitarian context with Translators Without Borders? You're the chairman of the board.
So the challenge with humanitarian response particularly, but also development projects around education and health, is really that you have to do the opposite. Instead of trying to control and restrict the languages that are used, you're actually trying to effectively communicate life-changing and life-saving information. And to do that, you need to understand how to reach those people most effectively.
Give me a typical situation that might occur with a displaced community. You think you know what they're speaking, but in fact, it's not the case at all.
Well, typically, one example, early on in the life of the Translators Without Borders in the Haiti earthquake in 2010, the humanitarian community arrived en masse, and there was a general consensus that everyone spoke French. And of course, largely, the urban populations, the educated professionals with which the humanitarian communities have face-to-face contact do indeed speak French. But the disadvantaged people, the more vulnerable people are, the more diverse the linguistic situation is. And the more remote they are, the less help they're getting with either colonial language communication in English or French or Spanish, or even with the next step. A lot of organizations use local populations who may speak Swahili or Hausa or some other lingua franca. But again, critical information around life-saving health issues or critical danger issues, those need to be communicated effectively. And often, especially with women, the levels of comprehension get very, very low. Very quickly.
Why particularly women?
Typically, men are in many of these situations involved in trade and commerce and working, and therefore they're used to share languages that are used for trade and communication. They would be the people who would go into towns and villages, whereas many of the women are a much more restricted circle of travel. They have a much more restricted community that they work in, and therefore they would typically have their own languages or their own words for using languages. Often the words for menstruation are completely different amongst the female population and the male population in the same language community. And so in order to reach people to talk about health issues, especially women's health issues, it's no good asking the men what the words are.
Basically, you have to go to them. You're going to need some investment in finding those communities whose rights are being compromised because they don't necessarily communicate with a wider international community, which is no fault of their own and no problem as long as we can get to them. I wonder, how can a technology be used to bridge this gap? You are a linguistics expert. How can you apply the technology and the internet that we have today to help?
I think the real secret to this is to diligently collect data, to take the problem seriously, not trivialize the problem, and to work on methodologies for collecting data, for listening to people, interviewing them and discussing which words do they use. For example, simple health and sanitation issues, asking them the words that they use, collecting those, documenting them, then sharing them as quickly as possible and as broadly as possible through technology with the rest of the language community.
How can you encourage the big data sharers like Google and Microsoft to get involved? Because if companies like those are going to send cars around to get street mapping, maybe they could do the same sort of principle on a global level for languages.
Google and Microsoft and Facebook and others are obviously commercial companies, so they have primarily a commercial imperative to their shareholders. They all have programs to drive social change, and we're working with all of those organizations, collaborating on individual projects to help promote language diversity and understanding of the language communities. There are are many different applications depending on the precise dynamics. Every situation is unfortunately slightly different.
Is there hope for protecting indigenous languages around the world, given that most of the content online is produced by just 10 languages?
There is definitely hope. We worked with Google together to get English Swahili machine translation released, and with Microsoft as well to help with data collection and the refinement of those technologies. We can work together with them on major local languages like Hausa and Swahili and variants of Arabic, and we push the agenda of taking the needs of those populations seriously. At the moment, Translators Without Borders is starting a number of self-driven initiatives to promote the use of technologies to drive real local language data collection and the development of technology specifically for much smaller populations than are at the moment economically interesting.
What is going to keep a language alive?
I think one is creating a framework for languages to survive. So for large international organizations and policymakers in general to take seriously the needs of local language populations as a cultural weapon and as a cultural heritage. So the first thing is that the policymakers internationally and nationally take that seriously. And the second thing is the use of technology. Technology can be an enormous enabler in increasing the levels of communication, easing communication between potentially disparate communities. So the creation of language resources and the access to information in those languages is an enormously powerful way of protecting those languages and protecting those communities.